You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to Dotto Tech. I am Steve Dotto. We are glad you joined us today. This show is dedicated to helping you get the most out of your technology. And if you stay tuned into our show today, you're going to get a lot out of this show. I'm excited about this because it is our finally show that we talk about online dating. We've been promising it almost since show one. What do you think? Are you excited, Art?
Well, I'm curious because eventually I may need to figure out how the whole online dating thing works. I've never done it before.
Oh, yeah. Is your relationship on the rocks? Is that what you're saying, Art?
Steve, you're killing me.
I'm killing you. I know. Art's in a happy relationship, as am I. But many people are looking to either upgrade or to start in a new relationship. And so we're going to be talking to Caroline McGilvery today and also to Ian Bell, who has a website called Tingle, which is a location-based dating service. It's important to be near the person you're thinking about dating. So we're going to be having a conversation on all of that. Plus, this one is compelling as well. We're going to be talking about the world of boutique publishing or vanity publishing. It's changed a lot. Sabrina Firminger is going to be joining us, and she's going to talk about her experiences. She's just about to launch her book, and it's going to be appearing in Chapters and bookstores right across the country. And she's doing it as a vanity press type thing, a self-published book that she knows will get into Chapters. How is she doing that? Well, you're going to have to stick around and listen in order to learn. Ooh, that's called a teaser.
Well done.
Thank you, sir. When I was doing my research for our special on online dating, I discovered a Vancouver-based online dating company. And Ian Bell has started Tingle, the online dating service.
It's true.
Ian, did you do this out of a sense of need?
Well, I'm married now, but years ago when I first moved back to Vancouver from Silicon Valley, I used online dating for a bit, met a lot of people, and it was interesting, you know, just about everyone you talk to uses it and hates it.
Do they?
Yeah.
Isn't that, because in my group, it's not so much. I mean, there are some people that hate it, but some people have really enjoyed the experience.
I think people really buy into the benefit, right? The benefit is to meet more people and do more things. And, you know, so people really buy into the promise of that. But what I found was, here's an example. So I would meet, a few times I met a girl who was exceptionally attractive, not nearly as attractive as the photos that she posted online. Mm-hmm. And so one of them, I got up the nerve and I said, so how come you look a lot better than the photos that you have in your profile? And her answer was, well, when I had better photos, I got too many messages.
Oh.
So the messaging volume is a big driver of churn in that industry. And we describe, churn is just a term to describe why people quit, right?
Yeah.
So that is one of the things that is a cancer within the online dating community. And, you know, people join up so they can go out and be social and be active and meet people. And they end up spending all their time sitting in front of their computer reading email
filtering. I had one friend who actually developed a system that was based on, and he actually put everybody into spreadsheets and rated the prospects. That seemed to me to be a bit excessive, as opposed to she's cute.
Yeah.
And I like his profile.
Yeah. So for me, I wanted to design something that actually had more serendipity in terms of how people discover one another on an online dating scenario.
And it is big business now. I mean, let's face it, you know, there's the Craigslist of the online dating world, which is Plenty of Fish, which is just the Wild West.
$2 billion in North America.
That's how big the industry is, $2 billion. And then, of course, you got the big guys, I guess, Lavalife and...
Lavalife isn't so big now, but Match.com is the big daddy, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're the ones. Now, what do they bring to the table? They try and bring some analytics into the background to help put people together? Is that the key that they're pushing?
It's you know, like anything, it's largely marketing driven. So the larger guys will talk a lot about... matching algorithms and technology and search engines and things like that. But fundamentally, the only real advantage they have is that they have a large crowd mm-hmm. and there are lots of people the bigger pool. Draw from.
But realistically, the pool is limited to the geography you're in. I mean, in 99% of the cases, which is really the if I you know could kind of look at the philosophy behind your app. You've taken kind of that. You've said that's how you're going to build your strength is geography.
Yeah, and geography is variable. You know, for example, last week or a couple weeks ago, I was in Las Vegas, and I noticed there were a bunch of Tingle users who happened to be from here were also in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. and they were checking in and meeting each other and that sort of stuff. And
well, let's talk about Tingle, because Tingle is a you call on your website is a great reason to be single. So it's a great way to meet new people. So what's the philosophy behind Tingle?
So the philosophy behind Tingle is to make the whole online dating experience more enjoyable and more mm-hmm. engaging, more serendipitous, so that people, you know, if you're out with your friends and you go to the new Oxford and Yale town to watch the hockey game, you check in and some girls check in who match your search criterion because you're looking for girls of a certain age and description, and you'll get a notification. So we push a message to you saying, hey, these girls just arrived and do you want to meet them? And they also see that you're there when they check in. And so there's this opportunity for meeting just because you're in the same place.
It's right? kind of icebreaking.
Yeah. And that's one of the real advantages, right?
So it's using the geolocation services like Foursquare and that where you check into a location. So you sign up, you fill in a profile.
That's one way it works. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you sign up, you fill in a profile which says who you are, what you're looking for in mm-hmm. life.
And for us, it's a really simple profile for the simple reason that most people actually lie on their profiles on online dating sites.
Or, get out of town.
It happens. It's true.
It cannot possibly.
So they may not be lying, but they may certainly be projecting an image of what they would like themselves to be versus who they actually are.
Gilding it a bit, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's hard to type on a mobile device anyway, so we thought we'd come up with a very simple profile. It gives some vital statistics that most people tend to care about and some photos and things like that, and then people can extrapolate from there. But the cool thing is once you've sort of broken the ice with someone, you can actually see their status updates and their check-ins and the photos they send out, and that becomes a way to get to know them over time, right? Mm-hmm. So just because you meet somebody at the new Oxford in Yale town and you might have a couple of drinks with them and then go your separate ways. You're now friends on Tingle. So your discovery of each other is more ongoing than mm-hmm. just that simple event.
It almost seems to blend the old-fashioned way and the new way, because you're not sitting at a computer researching somebody and then determining we're going to meet for coffee and see if it progresses into a relationship. You're getting on with your life.
Yep.
And you're not missing out, because if you're doing the plenty of fish thing and you're in the bar, if you decide to go with your buddies to go watch the hockey game, well, you're not really connecting by plenty of fish. You don't know which one of those people there in the bar might be a plenty of fish profile.
Yep. And I don't like to use buzzwords, but it is an augmentation.
You're in BC, buzzwords are probably good in BC.
It is an augmentation of the real life experience, right? So you're out there, you're doing the stuff you'd be doing anyway, you're out being social, and oh, hey, by the way, here's somebody new that I might want to meet, right?
I have to ask about rejection.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure, like everybody else, go, oh, great. Except am I setting myself up for rejection if these people don't want to meet me? How does that work?
Yeah, but it's a lot nicer than walking across the bar saying hi to the girl and having her whisk you away to the delight of your friends.
I wonder, you know, that'd be a really interesting thing. I wonder if anybody can write in and let us know their experience. Because I think if I was there in the bar, I'm just insecure Steve speaking here, and I, you know, there were some people that met my criteria, and it turned out they didn't want to meet me when I was already there. I might be going, darn, I feel like leaving now because.
But there's, you know, the fun thing about it is there's a plausible deniability in that connection scenario, right?
I mean, there could be reasons. Maybe it's a birthday party, a special event. They just don't want to be bothered.
Or she had her phone in her purse and it didn't, you know, she didn't hear it vibrate or whatever the scenario is.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Well, then maybe you just send a Tingle to the next girl.
There you go. You keep going. Now, is it just an iPhone app, or are you on multiple platforms?
For now, it's just an iPhone app. Yeah.
Yeah, but the iPhone people are the beautiful people anyway.
It's true. 59 million beautiful people all over North America.
So it started. Now, is it city centric? Are you rolling out in multiple cities?
It works best in cities right now, just mm-hmm. because that's where we have the density of people, and so that's why we're only available in Toronto and Vancouver at the moment,
mm-hmm.
But it'll spread over time.
So I have to take off my online interest in dating hat and my online interest in your business case hat. So, yeah. What's the business case? How are you gonna make money off this product?
So, actually, one of the things we don't do that the web-based dating guys do is offer a monthly subscription fee.
Mm-hmm.
What happens in online dating land is when you buy your monthly description fee, Steve, you go and you send as many messages as you possibly can. So that you get your money's worth. Right?
Sure, yeah.
I paid $22. I got to send at least, 300 messages.
Okay.
What happens on the other side of that is women are telling us they get an average of 75 new messages a day. That's probably more than they get at work.
Yeah.
And so, you come home and now you're sitting in front of your computer dismayed at all of these incoming messages.
75 people have poked you and none of them are interesting.
And you can't handle it, right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, that's a model we thought needed to change quite a bit. So what we do is we ascribe a value to every message you send or every phone call you attempt to make, because we also support people talking live on the phone via Tingle. And you can either earn that credit or you can buy it.
Okay.
You earn it by doing things we'd like you to do, like uploading photos and, sending status updates over the network and all that stuff.
Enriching the space.
Yep. And you also earn it if you check in at certain restaurants, because they're sponsors of Tingle, and they would be happy to have you check in at their restaurant and the one 3 blocks away. Right?
I like that. That's good.
And then, of course, you can buy it if you're impatient and you just want to skip the line.
Oh, good stuff.
But, yeah.
And so Tingle is available on iPhones at the App Store. It's in Vancouver, in Toronto, soon to be rolled out in other metro areas.
North America by late July.
There we go. We'll follow this. Ian Bell is the founder of Tingle. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. FitTech is brought to you by Fit for Work, leaders in corporate health and wellness programs. Your fitness is our job.
Welcome back to Dottotech. My tummy's grumbling a little bit. PJ Wren's sitting here, so I got a question for you, PJ.
Yes.
What's a healthy food to eat when you're snacking on the computer, working lots of hours? Because people do it.
I don't want them to eat at their desk, though, because we don't have that mechanism that tells us to stop.
So we
keep eating and eating and eating.
Okay, well, just stop for a second now, because you and other trainers live in a fantasy world where you can control where you are.
We're
The real world is I gotta get this work done, and I don't have time for proper food.
Okay,
because the world demands my attention.
Okay, so
now I don't like crackers being eaten at the keyboard for the only reason being that
crumbs.
I don't like the crumbs on the keyboard.
Yeah. So what I like people then is to pre-portion their snacks.
Okay.
All right. So put in a little baggie, just eat what's in that baggie, put it away. If you're looking for things to energize you, all right, you want some good healthy fats, so some mixed nuts, you want some protein, so a yogurt, apple dipped in natural peanut butter, that's my favorite go-to snack. Those type of snacks will energize you. If you take something that's too processed, too much in right refined flour, too much sugar, you'll get a great rush, but half an hour later, you're going to be crashed at the keyboard.
What I'm looking for is that emergency supply of something that I can put in my desk.
Yeah, you
got to
make it yourself, though. That's the thing.
You
got to
make it yourself?
Come on. You got to prepackage some. How hard is it to go to the bulk section, mix up some almonds, pumpkin seeds, walnuts, peanuts if you have to, and then put them in pre-portioned bags, stick them in your desk. Buy those Babybel cheeses. Stick them in the desk.
They're okay without refrigeration?
Yeah, they are for a day. Yeah, I've tried that myself, actually.
No, I was thinking something that could live in there for like weeks and months at a time.
All right, then how about protein bars?
Okay.
Yeah, Lara bars, fantastic bar. Only 5 ingredients, and they're all ingredients that you can pronounce.
Oh, okay.
So take a look for bars. Make sure the ingredients, you can pronounce them. Think of things, actually, I've read a good book where he quoted, he said, make sure that this is a product that your great-grandmother would have bought. So great-grandmother would have never bought Pop-Tarts, would have never bought yogurt in a tube, okay? You want to think about real foods and take those to the office. Yes, it's going to take a little bit of time, but I truly believe that your body's worth it.
Okay. And I might have a tip for people too sitting at their desk.
Oh, I'm afraid to hear
it. You're going to like this because this helps in multiple ways.
Okay, let's hear it.
I think drinking coffee is a good idea. Well, or drinking
you know what?
Water.
Drinking wine?
Drinking wine. No, I said water.
Oh, okay.
But you can extend to that.
You know what? I love coffee. And they're actually coming up with some great studies saying that it does help with diabetes and Alzheimer's.
I know the French said if you drink a cup of coffee, they've got some study that if you drink a cup of coffee a day, you're less likely to die.
Yeah, it's sponsored by Starbucks.
That's right.
But Yeah, no, coffee's fine, and then I would switch over to water in the afternoon.
And you know why it's the better than, other than the fact it keeps you going and all those other things, but you have to get up to go pee regularly, which gets you moving away from the desk.
Which gets you moving.
See, it's a double benefit.
So buy Vente and go at it. There
you
go.
If you want to learn about all these benefits, things to do to keep you healthier when you're using technology, PJ Wren is your person. Fit for Work is her website, and she has blogs on our site. Thanks, PJ.
Thanks, Steve.
Brought to you by Fit for Work, making sluggish workplaces into invigorated workplaces. Visit us online at www.fitforwork.ca.
Just a reminder that you can catch the entire show at dottotech.com. There's lots of stuff to do on our website, lots of ancillary information. As well, we've got a great contest going, a Father's Day giveaway, an Epson Workforce 840. So you can register to win an Epson Workforce 840 for Dad at dottotech.com.
Is that a prerequisite to give it to your father?
Yes.
I don't think my dad would have any idea what to do with a printer.
If you win it, well, you can't win it.
Oh.
Sorry.
What if he wins it? And can he give it to his son for like Son's Day? Is there such a thing as Son's Day?
No. Every day is Son's
Day. This is a horrible contest, Steve.
Dottotech.com.
For everyone else.
Joining me online now from Sexy in Van City Radio on CITR is Caroline McGilvery. Caroline, thanks for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It's good to be here.
It's payback because I think about 4 years ago I did a guest spot on your show about being safe on the internet.
Yes, you did, and you helped me personally with my Facebook privacy, which was great, and I've learned a lot more since then, thank God.
Well, now you're going to help me with online dating, because it is our topic du jour, one which is, I think, a tremendously compelling topic, but, you know, we recognize the fact that online is probably the most vibrant place to meet new people, but boy, oh boy, we sure have to develop a new set of skills if we want to step into that place.
Yes, we do. I think it's because sometimes when we're online, we think that we almost think of that as a cloak that covers us. So whether or not it's on an online dating site, on Twitter, Facebook, etc., and sometimes we spout out things that we may not want to share.
Uh-huh. So if a friend of yours says, "Caroline, I'm thinking about doing this online dating thing. I haven't had much luck in the bars." What's the first thing that you say? First of all, do you encourage people to use online dating?
I think so. I think it's a great opportunity to meet people as long as you learn not to just keep it online, but get ready to take it offline as soon as possible.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning, which is setting up your profiles and your expectations. I love the name of one of the popular sites, Plenty of Fish, because when I had my little foray into online dating, one thing I discovered is there are so many people out there to choose from, and you can go through them so quickly that there really are plenty of fish in the sea.
There really are, and I think that's one of the most important things is to realize that we get 97% of our information from what we see, 3% from what we hear. So make sure you have a good picture on your profile, number one.
A good current picture, I think a lot of people would say.
Yes, very much so, because sometimes there are challenges where you meet somebody, and let's face it, you do want to meet somebody, so don't do the bait and switch where you don't look like your picture anymore.
Yeah, or you're not the age or those sorts of things. Because, I mean, there are... It is the Wild West to a certain extent. There are going to be people that are out there just to pick people up or just to kind of, you know, just have fun and goof around with you and play mind games. So there's always going to be a certain percentage of people out there that are messing with you. But the people who are serious about getting into a relationship, if you're serious, you know, what relationship can start without honesty is the base.
Exactly. And I think it's a fine line too, what's too much honesty and what's not, because there are people who will be really upfront about things. So.
Ah, the oversharing.
Yes, which can be a good and bad. It's up to you. So, for example, I've seen Herpes Man as an example, which I think is interesting because then he doesn't have to have that conversation with people.
What
and
did you say?
Other women out there, Herpes Man.
Herpes Man, that's his name?
Plenty of Fish. Oh. Yes, that was one of the profile names because... You not only get to pick your picture, you get to write a brief description of who you are. You also get to pick a title, which can be fairly catchy. And so that's one of the things. You want to make sure it's an interesting title. So if there is something like that, even though that would generally not be the norm where you wouldn't put it out there, but if that's a conversation you didn't want to have, why not put it in your profile? Because in that way, it may cut away a lot of people.
It sort of cuts to the chase. A lot of people might just slide by Herpes Man.
They might, and if not, they might go, hey, that's cool. I don't have to have that conversation and jump right in there and maybe contact him.
Now, when you were basically available, which I know you're not now, but when you were, because this isn't an advertisement for Carolyn, although we are advertising for art. We're looking for a partner for art if we can possibly find one. Mm-hmm. He's giving me the evil eye here. But when you were looking, did you do the online dating thing much?
I have done the online dating. I think I've made pretty much every mistake in the book, and I've got some horror stories that I won't share because just to protect the innocent.
But were there good experiences too?
There were some great experiences. What I did learn from it is because of the fact you don't get when you're doing, it is like online shopping where you can kind of flip through pictures really super fast. Mm-hmm. But until you meet somebody in person, even if you feel good about what they're talking about online, until you meet them in person, you really don't get a chance to really get to know them. So that's really important. And what I found that really worked was, A, setting it up where letting them know where we've never met each other before, so let's just think of this as a meet as opposed to a date. And I think that takes a lot of the pressure off, number one, for two reasons. One, because you don't have to feel that you're going to be judged and have to impress this person. Two, if it turns out to be happily ever after, that's great. Three, that way if it isn't a fit, perhaps they may be a really good fit for your best friend, or you might be a really good friend for their best friend.
Okay, so and if you're taking the pressure off of not saying that this is going to actually be a relationship between us, then you leave the door open for those sorts of things.
Exactly.
Timing.
And in that way, Vancouver is a small town, so it's important to keep, you know, be respectful to everybody, and that's a really safe way to be respectful.
Now, timing is also, I think, important as far as that goes. Not letting a relationship go too far online where you set unreasonable expectations up just by the fact that you have time to sit there and write and think about what you're going to say.
Exactly. And also bearing in mind that not everyone's a writer. So mm-hmm. they may not be able to converse as well online as you'd like them to.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be people who may get somebody else to actually write their profile for them.
That, now, you mentioned that to me as we were prepping for this. You mentioned that there's actually a service that will help you. Do they call themselves Cyrano or something?
They actually call themselves TrySweetTalk.com. And what I like about it is the fact that sometimes when you're writing something, if you can't afford a service like that, I do recommend that you have somebody, get one of your really good friends who knows you really well, to actually take a look at your profile before you make it go live to make sure it's actually accurate. Because sometimes, especially if you've just gotten out of a relationship, you may not, or you haven't done it for a while, you may not see all your attributes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes having somebody from the outside be able to look at it and say, hey, these are the things that you should highlight about yourself that are really amazing, I think is very important.
Yeah, I think that's cheating. I'm sorry.
I think it's good because I get them to look at the picture as well and make sure it's an actual real picture, so it's not me thinking that I look like the way I did when I was 20.
I think what it might be for me is I want the competition to look bad if I was in the dating field. So and I'm a good writer, so there you go. You know, I might have a bit of an advantage. Not that I'm looking for that at this particular time.
No, I think you found a true love and happiness.
Yes, yes. Great. Well, actually, I did very well. I enjoyed the Plenty of Fish experience. For me, it was a good experience. So, Carolyn, your site, do you guys talk about this stuff at all or on your show?
We do sometimes. If we have a show that's really specific about it, we definitely do.
Okay. So they can find you on CITR. What's the station number?
It's CITR 101.9 FM, and we're on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock.
Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock. So a little daughter tech, and then a little bit of dinner, and then you can listen into Sexy in the City with Caroline.
Sexy in Van City.
There you go. Thank you very much, Caroline.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on the show. Everybody, be safe out there.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Cedric Tetzel is basically head of the computer department at London Drugs. Thanks for coming in, Cedric.
Thank you for inviting me.
Let's talk about what's happening today. And one of the real beauties of computing today is this concept of cloud computing, where everything lives on the internet and you can access all of your data at all times in the cloud. But some manufacturers are taking that concept away from the great wide internet and bringing cloud computing into your home.
Yeah, see, currently the cloud computing fundamentally means you either rent space or you use free space on the internet on somebody else's server and access those files or applications.
The classic is like Google Docs, where you're basically storing all of your word processing documents and you'd have no idea where it's stored. It's just in the cloud.
Right. And what iOmega has done with the Store Center Cloud Edition is they've given you control of your own cloud. You own your own drive. All you need is a router at home or in the office, plug in the drive, run the software installation, and you're done. From that point on, you can access your files from anywhere through the internet. You can do backups. You can invite other users to share those files. The applications are...
How is this different from hosting your own web server?
Not a lot, because the different applications, if you, say, had vacation photographs that you post onto this drive, you can invite your entire family, friends, what have you, with a secured password to come in and watch a slideshow. In fact, if you want, you can dedicate certain portions of that cloud to automatically update your Facebook page. You can update your Flickr album. So it's a very easy way, transparent way for you to invite other people onto your cloud, share your files, and do all that sort of stuff.
But you not just have password ownership, now you have physical ownership of the media. That's got to be the appeal to most people.
Actually, you have physical ownership of the media. It's not residing in somebody else's building, and you don't have to pay a fee.
Yeah,
you own it forever.
That's right. That's a good point. So how much does it cost?
It's about $200.
It's about $200. Now, have you installed, you've looked at the software. Is it easy to install?
Installation is very easy. It's a little bit time consuming because the first time you have to load your files, and if you have big files, it takes a while to load up. But once you've done that, we are done.
And it plugs into your router. It plugs into a USB port on your router. How big a storage, how much storage do we have on it?
2 terabytes to start.
Oh, that's, and is that expandable? If you need it expandable?
You can plug in, there's a USB port in the back, you can plug in other drives.
So you could plug in additional storage, but 2 terabytes is a huge amount of storage. And, you know, if you think about what we're doing here, I mean, even when Microsoft tried to make their home media server, you know, a simple version of doing this kind of stuff, and it's never been easy to use. It's never been kind of plug and play and for non-real geeks to do. But you think iOmega might have caught the magic here?
This time they've done it right. Installation, by all accounts, have been very easy. And I've tried an earlier version of that on beta, and it was very easy to install.
So cloud computing doesn't have to be something that we lose total control of. This is a compelling concept. Thanks, Cedric.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Always looking for good local stories in the high-tech world. In Chilbed Industries, that's a good story. Adam Burson joins me. He is from Chilbed Industries, and they make laptop cooling stands, and they also make this very way cool tablet stand. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, cooling stands for notebooks, good idea. Why did you get into that?
You know, when I first got my first laptop, maybe, what was that, 8 or 10 years ago, my brother said to me, you got to go down, get yourself a cooling stand so your computer runs a little easier. You're not going to, you know, be around for 2 years. So, went down to the local, you know, Mac market and said, hey, what do you guys got?
So, your Mac guy. They run really hot. Yeah.
So they do run hot as well as PCs. So I went down to my local shop and basically said, do you have one of these? And they said, well, we used to have them. They were this price. We can't get them anymore. You know, if you come up with something, you know, let me know. And I was like kind of basically doing my own furniture business, as I still do. So design was kind of one of the elements I was looking at. And I said, you know, I can do this. I can.
Now, the earlier cooling stands that I've played with all have fans built in and they plug in by USB and that sort of stuff. But yours is none of that. Yours is, looks like it's just using a heatsink.
Solid aluminum. And aluminum is the main component in pretty much all your computer parts, which is a heat sink, thermal conductivity, absorbing and dissipating the heat generated from your laptop, your battery, your CPU.
Do you have numbers on how much cooler it keeps the computer?
The tests
running?
I've done have gone to at least 10 degrees at times.
Wow. So yeah. It's so significant. Now, the other thing that's nice is it sets a different angle of attack as far as the
I think the ergonomic design is out there is the same as a lot of them that are out there. Some are adjustable. This is at a nice, you know, angle, which allows you to type, get your wrists a little bit more elevated, and at the same time allows, you know, the energy and the air to be circulating underneath your stand, so you can get that extra cooling.
And when you look at a device like this, you can either use this and actually type on the device itself, or you could actually have a separate keyboard, which would probably work just as well. Just kind of sit in
there. Sure, you could do that if you're back. Mm-hmm. Some people use it inverted the other way. It's also great for allowing your laptop to sit in there while you're in transit, so you're not having your screen be protected.
Okay.
Broken.
Okay. So these now, this is, I see we have a size here. That looks like it's for about a 15-inch notebook.
That's the 13-inch size.
13-inch. So. Well, it shows how accurate my eye is.
The 13 and the 15s are easy to confuse. So
okay.
Three sizes, 13, 15, and 17-inch. And basically those are, you know, most people that have a PC are in the 15-inch range. The Mac people are definitely more specific to wanting one that fits perfectly for the computer. So these are basically made to MacBook specifications.
Mm-hmm. So, and your website is chillbeds.com. Can they order them online?
Yeah, there's a store page on there.
Okay.
Just a few clicks away.
Now, the other thing is not so much for cooling, but for a whole different purpose is this tablet stand, which I'm kind of a little bit taken with. It looks pretty cool.
It's one of those things, once you try it out, you really like it. I think the pictures that people see of it on the website or on the web itself, or they wonder, okay, how does that work? The close-ups really give you an idea that you've got the whole record management. You've got room in there for your tablet to sit with a case or cover. And mm-hmm. this is something that a lot of tablet stands out there don't have. They basically fit in there when your iPad is naked or your BlackBerry Playbook is naked. And people are walking around with cases or covers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a fact of the matter.
And you were telling me that with this, it's great if you have a Bluetooth keyboard and you're going to work on it. It sets mm-hmm. it up like a monitor or it's like a photo frame.
Exactly. Video conferencing, second desktop monitor. Yeah. In the kitchen is really one of the lines that I'm pushing because you don't want to spill your milk and get it all over your laptop
or
your
tablet.
So.
And then you've got all the recipes on it. Yeah.
Exactly.
So nice, flexible. What do these retail for?
Those are anywhere from $34.99 to $39.99.
Okay.
Depending on where you're getting them, which website, which store.
Okay. There we go. So the Chillbed Industries. Now, they can be found online. You've got plans for, are you going to come up with some other new cooling devices?
I've got a few more cooling devices. Basically, a play on what the existing Chillbed that I have is that mm-hmm. it's basically some cushioning aspects to have it more of a lap friendly. So you're really using it in bed or on your lap. This is great. This model is great, again, for traveling and office, desk use, kitchen, mm-hmm. what have you. And the tablet stand, I've got two or three other models that are just time and money and management just to get them out right now. So,
we'll see if people are. I'm certainly compelled by it. And just as a side note, it is a good investment just for the longevity of your notebook. Making it run cooler means that it works less hard and parts break down.
Exactly.
More slowly. There's less damage under the computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's more confusion under the Chillbed name than there is under the which one cools and which one doesn't. The Chillbed is really meant for directly cooling your laptop. The tablet stand, if they do start getting hot, these will be absorbing the energy.
It's more about ergonomics with that one for sure. I have to thank you very much. It's Adam Burson from Chillbed Industries. We'll have links to this on our site.
Thanks, Steve.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. MacTech, brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
It is time for MacTech here on Dottotech, and as is our custom here on MacTech, Chris Miller from MacStation joins us. Thanks for coming in, Chris.
Thank you.
And I want to talk today about Wi-Fi networking and Airport Extreme and Airport Express, Apple's two powerful Wi-Fi tools.
Yeah, there's the two of them. Airport Express is the smaller one, Airport Extreme the big one. Airport Express is great for small jobs. If you want to provide internet to, say, a dorm room or a smaller apartment, it can very easily pump out Wi-Fi to that sort of space. Also, it's great if you simply want to make something else wireless. If you want to make a printer wireless, you can connect it right to the Express, put it in a closet, and forget about it. Same with the stereo. Through AirPlay, with a little headphone jack on the bottom, you just plug any set of speakers into the bottom of that. So if you want to have speakers outside temporarily in a gazebo or just somewhere that is not wired, you can just put them up there. The Airport Extreme, on the other hand, is the big bad. It's the base station. It's what runs an entire household. You can have many machines, be they mobile devices and be they hardwired devices, all running off that, and it will control all the network for your household.
Now, in equal players are both Windows and Mac users in the airport world, mm-hmm. and it really competes with the other major routers as far as what's out there. But it's got some. It's a pretty robust router itself. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the easier ones to use since I run a lot of Macs in my house. I find there's a lot of benefit to having it. But overall, it's also the best router that I've put in.
It's easily the most powerful I've ever run across, and it just doesn't seem to run into the problems nor the signal degradation that other routers just run into over time.
Yeah, with a lot of routers, you find you'll be dropping a lot of signals. You'll be dropping your connection on a regular basis. And although that does happen occasionally with my Airport Extreme, it doesn't happen as often. Now, it's got some other additional features built in, especially Mac users can benefit from in the backup world.
Mm-hmm. All you really have to do is you get a hard drive, little USB hard drive, plug it into the USB on the back of the Airport Extreme, and you've got yourself a time capsule.
And which, now time capsule is?
Which is the backup software built into any Apple device.
Which is a wonderful backup utility. The cool thing about Time Capsule and Time Machine, which is the software that's running on your computer, is you can look incrementally at your backups at any time in the past. It's a very funky thing to look at, but it's also very functional if you want to see a certain revision of a document at a certain time in your backup. It gives you the ability to do that, which is pretty unique.
Mm-hmm. My clients absolutely love that. If you're working at home and the kid comes over and starts whacking on your machine and accidentally deletes half your files and you don't notice for 4 days, you can go back to the last time you remember working on it and pull it up. It's not just a backup of the last time you backed up.
It's backup of everything. I want to talk a little bit more about the Express as well, though, because how much does an Express cost, each of the Express?
$99.
So it's about $100, and it can be used in a variety of ways. As you say, it can be used as your router if you're in a very small location for Wi-Fi access, but really it extends your network into a whole bunch of different areas. The concept of being able to just plug one of the Expresses in near your home theater system and then be able to deliver all of your iTunes from your computer to it. That's a really elegant solution.
It's really nice because it's just this little box you can plug into the back and it's done.
Yeah. So they are both the Airport Extreme, Airport Express, Apple's Wi-Fi tools. Thanks, Chris Miller from MacStation.
Thanks for having me.
MacTech is brought to you by MacStation, your environmentally friendly solution. Trade up to the newest technology. Save taxes on the new machine. Give a second life to your old Mac. MacStation, who said business and pleasure don't mix?
I was interested in doing a story on the changes in the publishing universe based on all of these online sites that I discovered where you can basically do vanity press and publish your own books. And so I posted on Facebook amongst my wide assortment of friends and contacts, anybody publishing a book or have any experience? And lo and behold, old friend Sabrina Firminger comes and says, "Steve, I'm in the middle of publishing a book right now." And Sabrina's a publicist, and she's a all-around digital age woman and now a new mother.
Yes.
Sabrina, so you're publishing your book online. No, sorry. You're publishing your book in the real world, but using online services to do it. Tell me what the experience is being like.
It's been better than I had possibly imagined that it would be. I've spent the last 2 years writing a book, not really thinking about what I was going to do with it once the book was done. I knew at some point I wanted to hold a physical book mm-hmm. in my hand or read it on my Kobo, but I didn't really know what that process was going to be like to get it into the hands of my readers.
Now, surely when you started writing, you knew that the odds of getting books published by traditional publishing methods were long at best.
Yeah, I had also heard that publishing houses were closing all over the world, that literary agents were not accepting new manuscripts. I knew that I was writing this book at a time of significant change. Mm-hmm. For the most part, the last couple of years, I have focused on getting the book where I wanted it to be. And now a few months ago, I had the book finished and I was really happy with it. And all my beta readers had read it and they loved it. So I was looking at what the next step would be and the best way to get my book into the hands of my readers. And I just decided, you know, I don't really feel like sending out my book, you know, to one publisher and then another one and another one and let it sit in, they call them slush piles, you know, with hundreds of other unsolicited manuscripts. I didn't want that. I wanted to get it to my reader as soon as possible. And self-publishing is the way that I've decided to do that.
Well, in the traditional publishing system, our methodology is also rife with rejection. You're going to be sent letter after, waiting for months, saying, no, we're not interested. No, it's the wrong time. No, it's not the right book, and that sort of stuff. So the self-published press has always been around. There's always been self-counsel press and options for publishing books yourselves.
And there's a stigma, definitely, that's been attached with it.
Yeah, as well.
As well.
Because these are seen as, quote-unquote, the books that can't get published by the traditional method.
Right.
But as you say, that model is breaking. You know, the entire publishing model is breaking. We're seeing them struggling and trying to figure out their own model.
Mm-hmm.
So you obviously did some research online. What sort of sites, was there a gamut of different self-publishing sites that you looked at?
So where I started was I actually looked up local Vancouver publishers, printing houses, because my original idea was that I was going to print a bunch of hard copy books and then I was going to figure out how to sell them myself and then I was going to figure out how to get it on Amazon for ebooks. It was just so stressful wading through all this information. Through my research, though, I discovered iUniverse. Now, I am in the thick of things with iUniverse right now. So far, I've been very happy with them. What iUniverse does is pretty much everything that you need done to get your book into the hands of your readers. They'll do an editorial evaluation. They'll tell you if your book is good or not. You can pay them to tell you if your book is good or not. They'll set it up so that it's available in all of the e-book stores, iBook store. You can get it for your Kindle, for your Kobo, for anything. They'll lay out the pages for you. It's print-on-demand publishing, essentially. So I'm not just printing a bunch of books. They're not just going to sit there. It's when an author or when a reader orders my book, it'll be shipped to them or it'll be immediately downloaded to their reading device.
So you're building a book that is available in all formats, or all print formats, either for e-reader on Kobo or Kindle or the like, or as a hard copy.
Yes.
We'll return and loop back to the audiobook portion, which is something that I'm interested in as well. So you've determined it. Now, were there different options and different, like, how much is it costing for these services for you? Because now you're basically have become a customer of iUniverse.
Yes.
And you're saying, I'm going to pay for this all to be done. So what does that package look like?
Well, they offer a wide range of packages. If I just wanted the book to be available to my friends and family, it would be in the area of $100. I am paying a premium. I'm paying about $3,000 for this. It's the package is one of their bookstore packages, which means that 8 copies of my book are actually going to be on sale in a brick and mortar physical Chapters Indigo somewhere across the country.
Well, so they actually get some placement in an actual bookstore.
Yes.
Is it just one bookstore that they end up in, or
I'm not actually entirely sure. I had thought about asking them, oh, can they all be available in Vancouver or, you know, somewhere where I've lived? But I like the idea of them being spread out across the country so that, you know, strangers can pick them up and decide whether or not they want to buy it, just like they would any book that comes from a traditional publisher.
So they're providing you with editorial services as well. So you submit the manuscript and this is one of the keys for any book is having a good editor.
So
they actually provide some. Are you into that part of the process yet?
Yes. So what I've received is something called the editorial evaluation. It's a 27-page document where they pretty much go through all the different elements of my novel, you know, the pacing, point of view, characters, and they do an objective analysis of, you know, they said this stuff is great or this needs work. You need a line edit for this stuff. And it helped me see my book in a new way and, you know, helped me get the editing done. Because one of the reasons I think that there has been such a stigma about self-published books is that people can become very precious about their words.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll just print appears on their on the page because, like, well, that's my art.
I don't want to
touch it.
Now, I'll let the skeptic in me come up for a moment. Mm-hmm. The feedback that you got, was that germane to your book? Was it, was it, was, do you know for sure that they read your book and they caught the flavor of what you were trying to...
Oh, they were talking about my characters. They talked about the pacing of the book. They said, this half of the book feels different than this part of the book. And they went through and pulled stuff out. It was... That's what amazed me was how precise it was.
Now, were you able to step back? First of all, did it emotionally... Was it emotionally difficult to deal with the criticism?
It was, but it was stuff that I needed to hear. You know, very recently, a friend of mine, actually wasn't a friend, it was just a gift that I was given, but I was given a book, a self-published book, and I dove into it, and it was just filled with errors. And if somebody had just said to this person, read your book, hear the errors, you know, it would have made the book so much better. So I don't want to go on Amazon one day and somebody writes in a review, this book would have been good, but there was this error here and this error there. And
now books can be, I guess, several different things to different people. One of them, they can be a business, and the other, they can be a labor of love. Which is this for you?
I wrote it as a labor of love. I am promoting it as a business.
And are you relying on their services to promote it ultimately? Because I know you're a publicist by nature, so you're going to rely on your own skills downstream?
Yes, I am. What I want from iUniverse, what they are doing for me, is to help me create a great looking and feeling product. You know, I want to make sure that it is available to everybody, that it looks great when you hold it in your hands. But as far as press releases, a social media presence, websites, book signing, distribution, those are things that I'm not scared of.
Okay.
The artist in me, I actually have to step back from the book a little bit and think about the advice that I give other artists when promoting their work and treat my promotion of this as if it's not my book.
Yeah. So you're you're revisiting the book now and going to be re-editing. How soon do you think it'll be done?
Should be available in people's hands in a month and a half.
So in about 2 months, let's come back and let's see how it's going.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you all about that process.
Sabrina Firminger is my guest. She is a soon-to-be published author.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation, your Apple solutions experts.
Joining me in studio now, Chris Miller from MacStation for App of the Week. And App of the Week is one of my favorite apps. I am a Skype fan, but I basically use Skype on my notebook or on my desktop computer. I don't use it on a lot of devices. But you think I can?
Oh, yeah, it's changing. With the fact that 3G is much faster than it used to be and Wi-Fi is just so accessible now, I have a conversation with a friend of mine who moved to Australia, full video communication, phone to phone, now iPad to iPad. And it's a little boxy, but it works just fine.
So what are you using the forward-facing camera on your iPod Touch or on your iPhone?
That's correct.
And you're using that. And so you're actually video conferencing in Skype. You're not just having a phone call.
Yeah, phone calls for grandpa. We got video now.
Phone calls for grandpa. Phone calls are still good.
Yeah, they have their place.
So talk to me about the technical setup. Is it a challenge working on your iPad, on your iPod Touch? Do you have to pay attention to what network you're on?
This is one of those devices that is really based more on the service than the app on the device. Mm-hmm. Once you get Skype up and running, once you have your account, which just about everybody does now, you just download the app, plug in your account information, and it works just exactly the same way as Skype does on your computer or on anything else. The only time you do want to pay attention to what network you're on is if you are going to have a video communication, if you have a lower data plan. Video will chew up your data rather quickly. Other than that, it's as simple as to be.
Now, when you go to make a phone call, if you've got a Skype plan that has the ability to call landlines and call cell phones, do you get an option pop up if you want to make this call by your dialer or by Skype on the Mac, on the Apple OS?
What you do is you select a contact, and then you then would have their email, their phone number, and if it's a landline, it shows up as landline. If it's a mobile phone, an iPhone, it'll show up as an iPhone.
Okay.
And if you select the iPhone, it'll give you the option to do video or not.
Okay. What I'm talking about is when you just are calling from your contact list. For instance, I've just been playing with an Android phone. And when I go to make a phone call for my contact list, it says, do you want me to use your dialer or do you want to use Skype? Because Skype installed. Do you have that option with the Apple stuff at that point?
Not on an iPhone. Not that I've seen in any case.
So you'd actually have to go through and choose and be within the Skype app to make that call.
Yeah. The reason for that is, of course, FaceTime.
Yes. So FaceTime is a different option. So position FaceTime then against Skype. Where am I going to use which one?
Well, FaceTime will work over Wi-Fi. It has. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work over the 3G currently.
Okay. And it only works with people with Apple hardware.
Who also have FaceTime, yeah. So anybody with a MacBook. It took over for iChat, if you're familiar with iChat.
Absolutely. Good. So Skype is now ready for prime time on all of the Apple devices.
Works smooth.
And we will have a blog post that describes this all and on our site. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
App of the Week is brought to you by MacStation. Book a one-on-one training with our Apple specialists or sign up for one of our free workshops. Get the most out of your Mac with MacStation. Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Aylwin Hsu from Wireless Etc. is on, and I said, I want to talk about handsets today. And Aylwin said, let me talk about the BlackBerry Torch, Steve. Let me talk about the BlackBerry Torch, Steve. Let me talk about the BlackBerry Torch, Steve, because he loves the BlackBerry Torch, don't you?
That's the phone I'm using, and I've been using it ever since its launch.
And you could use any phone in the planet.
Pretty much, but you know, the BlackBerry is the one I keep on coming back to.
Why?
I think it's just as simple as the fact that, one, I like a physical keyboard.
Yeah,
and that's the nice thing about the BlackBerry Torch. It's got the touch screen. It's got the big screen and then the slide-out keyboard. And BlackBerry does the best job in terms of their keyboards.
The phones being so capable these days, quite often it's just going to come down to one factor that makes a phone work for you or make it not work for you. And for a lot of people, that touch keyboard, I've been using a plethora of touchscreen phones from the iPhone to the different Android phones, and I still suck writing on the touchscreen. I just don't do a good job of it. And it's not that I'm not trying. Now, I haven't mastered the swipe thing. I haven't bothered to learn that. I should really do that, I imagine.
Well, I use swipe, I will say, on the tablet that I use.
Mm-hmm.
However, when I have to compose an email, I'm usually reaching for my BlackBerry just because I need that tactile feel.
And you feel you write better. You write more intelligently and you're not making mistakes.
So concentrate
on the message.
Yeah, I don't know about intelligently for me, but I do definitely find it's easier to input. The other thing I'll say about BlackBerry is I've yet to find any device that integrates as well in terms of email.
Mm-hmm.
I do, you know, my lifeline is email a lot of times, and I need to be able to manage that email efficiently. And BlackBerry has, you know, with their email server really worked well with Microsoft Exchange. So when I file messages, they're all there. I know how to get at them quickly, and I can file them quickly too.
I think we can all agree that nobody does email as well as RIM does. Now, what about the web browsing experience? Because if I felt there was one weakness in my other BlackBerry devices in their classic forms, that it was always the web browsing. Because of the lack of the touchscreen, I imagine, the lack of pinch to be able to zoom in.
Yeah.
How's the Torch work for
that? Well, let's just say this. In 2010, I went to Android and I stayed with Android pretty much the entire year. Android devices, I tried about three or four different ones, and as well as Windows Phone 7, I tried that out as well. And the main reason for doing that was I could not stand the browser that came with BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
That all changed when the Torch launched. That all changed when they released BlackBerry OS 6. And they finally came with a full HTML experience, full web browsing experience on their handheld. And it has the pinch to zoom that you spoke about and just the ability to render full websites as opposed to the, you know, the old text-based only sites.
Yeah, so they have stepped up to the plate as far as that goes. The other thing that RIM has that is often lost in the shuffle is the strength of BBM.
Yes.
BlackBerry Messenger. If you have a family that uses it or a work group that uses it, it's the least expensive way to communicate for sure, right around with everybody using text messaging.
The people who use BlackBerry that I find today, they're all addicted to BBM.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people, if it weren't for BBM, they would probably migrate to other platforms. But because of BBM, because of how well it works, you know, how cost-effective it is, like you spoke about, it's that one killer application that everybody keeps on coming back to.
And as a result, maybe we should take a step back, because you and I know what BBM is, but I'm not sure everybody out there that doesn't use a BlackBerry knows what BBM is. So how would you explain it?
I explain it as an instant messaging program between BlackBerry devices. It works just like any other instant messaging program
like
that
texting,
you use on your computer.
Yeah.
Similar to texting, but more computer-based instant messaging. So
more like Microsoft Messenger or something like that. Yeah.
If I send you a message, I know when it's been delivered to your, you know, your device. I know when you've read the device or message, and I also know when you're writing back to me.
Yeah, you can see Elwin is responding. Elwin is typing.
Exactly.
So you've got that. You've got that physical connection. Almost.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's. But the thing is, it's free between every BlackBerry device.
It runs data over the server, which goes through BlackBerry. So, you know, it uses very, very little data.
And it's fast.
Yes,
it's fast and instantaneous. And it still is probably the kind of the hidden strength of the whole BlackBerry line. People want to see the BlackBerry Torch in action? You're out shopping at Costco? Well, drop into Wireless, et cetera. They're the kiosks in each and every Costco. Thanks, Elwin.
Thank you.
And we have reached that time in the show when it is time to wrap things up. Art, when I originally envisioned the show, I thought that the dating segments would be most germane to you. But now that I know that you're not actually in the market, is there a book in you?
You know what? I think there might be a book in me.
You know, as a comedian, there should be a book in you.
Well, it's not just the comedian working in radio, going through relationships. I mean, not to sound narcissistic, but I think I've had a somewhat interesting life.
And maybe you can put it all down on pen and paper or keyboard and screen, and then you can publish it yourself.
Yes.
But there are a lot of options. Actually, if you come to the website, I'm going to list, as well as iUniverse, which Sabrina mentioned, there's like five other really good self-publishing sites that I found that give you lots and lots of options.
I think my book would have a lot of pictures.
That's good.
Yeah.
Are you going to draw them yourself or just pictures?
Yeah, not a lot of content, just lots of pictures.
No,
well, hand-drawn, you know.
Coloring? Is there going to be coloring?
Hey, that could be a new market.
Or the Connect the Dots. The Connect the Dots I used to rock at, as long as the dots were easily labeled so I could read them.
A couple of Sudoku. It's going to be great. You know what? I've got maybe two books in me now that I'm thinking about it.
There you go. And good. Focus. Focus, my friend. Focus. That's all the time we have for this week's show. Thank you very much for tuning in. I need to thank all of my dating experts, Caroline McGilvery and Ian Bell, as well as Sabrina Firminger, and my producer, Art Factora. I'm Steve Dotto. Thanks for tuning in.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.